Everybody to part two of our series that we're entitling Face to Face. Before we get started in the series this morning, I just want to give a shout out to those that really made a big difference this week in the lives of our children with our VBS. Awesome time. And come on, everybody, let's just appreciate those. I don't think I've ever seen a Vacation Bible School with so many hands-on. I mean, we had some adults there, and it was awesome. It was awesome. And, you know, I think it was at least a one-on-one ratio. So I really, really appreciate all the effort. And there was a lot of people this week that were here actually early for prayer that they would then go to work, then turn around, come right back here and work with our kids. And I just want to tell you, I know that you made a huge, huge difference. And sometimes we just don't realize that. I heard stories of some children that were begging and crying to be here, and just awesome week because it made a big difference. Again, I just appreciate every one of you. As I'm giving a shout out, I just got to take a moment to give a second shout out to a couple. I don't always get this personal up here, but, you know, this is our clerk and his wife. EA and Janice Henson celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary this week. He came driving up this morning in a white convertible BMW, and I said, "Happy anniversary," only to find out it was his daughter's car. But anyway, all right. What a great time we had last evening. I've had the honor of renewing their vows with them. It's just a great time. Just want to say God bless you and congratulations to EA and Janice. I want us to look at this series that we're into, Face to Face. Really excited about what God is doing in the month of August. The goal of this series is that our lives will be enriched and spiritually and by getting closer to God. And the theory is this, that oftentimes in the summer months, you know, summer, we oftentimes hear this phrase, summer slump. We're kind of in this place where we're not in the regular routine of things. There's a lot of vacations that happen. In fact, sometimes when we vacation, we actually take a vacation from God as well, and we just kind of fall in this doldrum of activity. And but I think this month of August is a wonderful opportunity and a great time, a great season that we can have of just renewing ourselves again, especially as we approach fall. Fall is a time of harvest, and we're going to be launching some things next month. Really excited about it and just looking forward to a great harvest. I honestly believe that even over the past year, God has been laying a foundation that and just really honestly, let me just word it another way, tearing up some soil, so he can just sow some seed in there and bring forth life. I was sharing with the Dream Team actually this morning that culture is so important. And we talk about the seed. Seed is important in the soil, but the soil is like, our culture is the soil. The environment is what I'm saying. The seed, there's nothing wrong with. The Bible talks about some seed that fell upon good soil, some fell upon stony ground, some fell among the thorns. But the problem is not the seed, and the seed represents God's word. The problem is the soil, the condition of the soil, or the environment in which it lands in. And I honestly believe that God has been just tearing up our soil over the last year, and it upset some of us, and some of us, you know, are upset more than others because our soul's getting kind of ripped up and the usual is getting turned around. But I believe what God's doing is he's preparing us for a great harvest. I really believe that. I don't mean to get this personal right up front here, but I actually had an opportunity a couple of weeks ago to be in a situation with a prayer team, and there were some things prayed over those that were just spot on. One of the things that really spoke to me was this word that jumped out called trust. That seems to be the word that God most speaks to me than any other word throughout my life. Trust me. And then there was a gentleman that honestly spoke prophetically to me and said, "I see in you that you've been up against some glass ceilings, and there's been some shadows that have been following you." He said, "But I'm telling you that God is breaking those glass ceilings, and the shadows are going to flee, and you're about to plant in some soil, and you're going to bring forth a great harvest." And I just said, "Yes, Lord, yes." Now, if it had been spoken to you, and that was for all of us, everybody. Come on, let's give God praise for that. and say, I don't know all about that. Well, you know, it's one thing if it doesn't line up with God's word. It's another thing if it doesn't line up with your spirit. But when all that checks out, God is up to something. And I really do believe that God is up to something. And I'm just excited about this time of renewal as we're spending time in prayer. And let me just take just a moment here just to say, I encourage you to come. Every day this week and the next week after that, we're going to be here until through the 23rd every morning. It's from 7 to 8 a.m. And when you get here, you're going to find something out. You're not here by yourself. There's thousands of people that are joining with you here. Well, I say here via technology, but we're connecting with other churches and where there's thousands of people that are actually getting up at 6 a.m. And by the way, the worship team gets up earlier than that, for whatever, to be there and to be prepared. And it's a wonderful time. In fact, you hear about a 10-minute sermonette, that just a time of just preparing your heart for prayer and some time of worship that leads till about a quarter after the hour, then a quarter after the hour, until a quarter till the hour. There's 30 minutes of corporate prayer, and we have the prayer cards out, and that's when we pray, and we seek God, and there's music, and we're praying. And then a quarter till the hour, we come back together for prayer together, and we're led in prayer for specific things. And I'm telling you, it is powerful. It's powerful. I remember, it was yesterday that Dawn, we got through, and I turned around, and she said, wow! And I'm telling you, you need some wow in your life, right? And so I encourage you to be here. It's from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m., Monday through Friday. On Saturday, we meet here at 10 o'clock. And on the 23rd, the last day, we're going to have actually a prayer breakfast that starts at 9:30. And we're just going to have an awesome time together as we just believe God for great things. So I want to encourage you in that. Here's the thing, guys, and this theme of face-to-face. And oftentimes, we have a tendency to approach our Christian faith in a cognitive type of way, where we study it, we hear it, we read it, we understand it, we analyze it, and yet there's a part of this thing that cannot be understood, because if you can understand it with your brain, guess what? God can fit in here, and I don't want a God that can fit in here. I want a God that's bigger than my brain, right, everybody? You trust me, you don't want a God that can fit in here, right? And so there must be a time when you experience God or you encounter God. Last week we talked about close encounters, where you really get up close and you encounter God. And here's the fact, and that is that people who have had a face-to-face encounter are never the same. When people really have encountered God's presence, I'm telling you, I think I've heard often facts of how students or kids will come up in church and they'll do the things, they'll go to the Bible studies, they'll do these things, but if they never have a personal encounter with God, that when they get on campus, like across the street, and they encounter something entirely different of a different teaching, many of them are swept away. I've actually heard that there's a statistic that close to 90% of kids who came up in church lose their faith in college before they graduate. That's startling to me. That's alarming to me. And it underlines this point, and that is that it's so important that we really encounter Him, because when you have an encounter with God, when you have an experience with God, there's no argument that can talk you out of what you already know. It's like someone said, you've come too late to tell me now. I've already experienced God for myself. And here's the deal. I can't cause that to happen in your life. But what we all do, and we are trying to do here, and that is to create an environment where people can meet with God, in the hopes that wherever you are in your spiritual journey, that you would get close to Him, that you would encounter God. This face-to-face term, it describes the kind of relationship that God desires. Again, last week we looked at close encounters, and we looked at the first mention of this in this term face-to-face. And when you see it mentioned first, it's the most purest form. And you look at that, and we looked at the story of Jacob, who came to an end of himself, but God came and He strengthened him, and he found his new identity in Him, and he found a new joy in Him. Well, this week I want to look at another story, another encounter, as we look through Scripture. And it's found in the scripture that actually we're basing this series off of, in Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, where it's described the kind of relationship that Moses had with God. And it says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. And what that speaks of there is an intimacy. And see, for a lot of people, they've never found a comfort zone, even in the area of prayer. You know, we formalize it. we come to God and we talk to Him like He's from England. Well, thou wouldest, couldest, wouldest, pleasest. It would be graciousest of thee if thou wast. Are you know what I'm saying? You know, we formalize this thing, and some of us we're almost even embarrassed to pray in public. You know, like, okay, Lord, thank you. Amen. All right, let's eat. And there's this. We know God, we love God, but there's not that intimacy. And this is important, because if we're not careful, the Christian faith, your Christian faith, can be built just on your beliefs. Now, beliefs are important, but you need to encounter His power and His presence, and when you do so, you'll be forever changed. You see, Paul, he was a true intellectual, and there was no equal to him. Paul understood the law like no one else. He was an intellectual. The guy had it together intellectually. He understood the law. He understood the Bible lessons. He understood the stories. He understood that, but there was no encounter. And yet, he came to this point after he had encountered Christ. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it's there in your notes, I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, and he could have gone there, but he chose this, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith may not rest on lights and message notes and pretty facilities, but your faith would not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. On God's power. Week one, we dealt with the argument and why it's so important. I encourage you to get a copy of that if you didn't get to hear that. See Tommy on that. But last week, we looked at Jacob's encounter. But this week, I want us to see this. I want us to understand this encounter story that we're about to embark on. And the reason, if you talk to someone who's had an encounter with God and they tell you how they got there, it may help us get there. And so I want us to look at this encounter of Moses. And the story begins this way. You all pretty much know the story. He was a Hebrew baby born and put in a basket to save his life floating down the Nile River. Pharaoh's sister finds him, takes him to her own house, raises him as a prince of Egypt, finds out that he's a Hebrew. He murders an Egyptian slave master. He's now in exile on the backside of the desert 40 years later. He's now 80 years old, where we pick this story up in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Look at it with me. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert. Let me just stop right there. For a lot of people, that's how you would characterize your relationship with God. Most people believe that God exists, but very few people feel close to God. So you would characterize your relationship with God as, you know, look, it's far and dry. It's distant. I know he's there, but he's way out there, and I'm in this dry place, and I really don't get a lot out of this thing. And this is where Moses was when he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. And Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. Let me pause right there. Let me bring out this point. God is notorious for creating strange ways to draw us. In fact, a lot of times, God would do things pretty strange to us. And if you want a God that's all tucked in an orderly way, you're not really going to enjoy God very much, because honestly, God does some strange things. Now, really, it's not strange. It's just strange to us. But God does some strange things, and he doesn't ever do the same strange thing twice, though. Because we like to say, okay, that's the way God always does it. God burned in a bush, right? So be careful, because there's some, if you take that and say, well, God did this in my life this way, and if you want to encounter God, it's got to be this way. If you take that literally, then that means that God should be speaking to all of us in a bush. You know, did God speak to you in a bush? No. Did the bush burn? Did the bush burn? No, the bush didn't burn, but that wasn't God. Okay? So we need to be careful that we don't build our theology around an experience. And that sounds a little wild, a little strange, but that's the absolute truth of what oftentimes happens. Something happened yesterday, 20, 40 years ago, and we think that's the way God's got to move. God does things different. He's God. You're not going to put him in a box. He does things in different ways. I mean, you know, there's some people that, you know, would establish themselves as the first church of the burning bush. You know, we're the first church of the burning bush. That's who we are. We're going to worship God. He speaks through a burning bush. We need to be careful. We need to be very, very careful with that and understand that God does things in different ways. I mean, this service may seem strange to some people, but God does things in different ways. But we've got a decision to make in that process of God doing something in a strange way. Look at what happens. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. It was a strange thing. It was different. God does things oftentimes differently, different than what we're used to. And it was different for Moses, but something inside of Moses drew him to it. And he said, I will go see this strange thing. And here's what happens. When we take a step to see that, God likes it. When we take a step towards God and we're drawn by God, and we're going to go and we're going to check out that strange thing, God spoke then from the strange thing. Sometimes it's from something that you don't understand. You can't wrap your brain around it, but God wants you to understand. It's not about just operating your brain. It's operating your heart. He wants to encounter an intimate, close, personal relationship with God. He doesn't just want an intellectual relationship. He wants you to encounter him. And look, let's read on. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And if you all have seen the movie, it's more like Moses, Moses. Why does God talk that way? I don't know, but anyway. And Moses said, here I am. And he says, don't come any closer. God said, take off your sandals, for the place where you stand is holy. And so God brought him into this moment to let him realize that there was something very significant and holy about that moment. And then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Now, I want us to notice something very significant here. Notice that in chapter 3, Moses hid his face. But chapter 33 that we first read says that they were talking face to face. And he had to move from hiding his face, which oftentimes is our natural tendency to do, we don't understand something, to then going close to God and getting into this face-to-face relationship. He went from this, I don't understand you, I don't get you, I can't look at you, I'm not comfortable with you, from hiding his face then to talking face-to-face. And the following is a conversation that God and Moses had together right there. And God spoke to Moses out of that burning bush. And I want us to look at this. I want us to break this down. And that is that Moses responds to God with four excuses. I'm going to call them four obstacles to encountering God. Four obstacles to get from getting close to God. And they represent the same things we tend to say are reasons why we cannot get close to God. And you have message notes there in your worship guide. I encourage you just to take some notes there with me. Number one, write this down if you're taking notes. If you're not, write this down. Number one, who am I? He says, who am I? Oftentimes, there's an obstacle here, God. He says,
Who am I?
Apparently, God, you haven't been watching. I'm in exile. I'm 80 years old. I'm on the backside of the desert tending to sheep, and that's a low job, and you're asking me to do a major job. Who am I? I'm messed up. I'm a murderer. I got issues. You don't want me. I'm not worthy. You picked the wrong guy. Look at it with me. Verse 11. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Now let me back up what the first thing there that God said. And God said, "I will." Now notice, God redirected the focus from Moses. Moses' focus was Moses. And God redirected his focus on him. God directed the focus off of Moses' character onto God's character, right? See, we oftentimes think we can't get close because we're not worthy. You know, I ain't the preacher. I ain't the guy with the coat on the platform. I'm just, you know, whatever. Let me tell you something. None of us are worthy. None of us are worthy. And God says, you don't come to me based on your worth. You come to me based on my worth. You don't focus on who you are. You focus on who I am. You don't focus on what you've done. You focus on what I did. That's good preaching, everybody. Come on. Give me a good amen right there. Give God a good amen. And this is how it plays out. We come to church, we come into worship, and we got things on our mind, and we remember what we did last week and what went wrong and our failures, and we start thinking, well, and the devil starts speaking to us, well, you can't raise your hand, well, you hypocrite, you know what you did last night, you know what, you know, you're a mess, you're just a hypocrite, and that's a lie. It's a lie that the devil tries to condemn us and hold us down from worshiping God, right? In fact, that's his job is to be one that casts condemnation. And here's what needs to happen. And that is, write this down, we need to overcome condemnation. We need to overcome condemnation. The enemy's job description, the Bible tells us, is to condemn you, is to run the tape back, is to say, yeah, you remember when and when this happened, and you can't, who do you think you are? I'm going to tell you, that's his goal, is to pull you down and to condemn you. Now here's the deal. Condemnation is very different from how God deals with us when we mess up. John 3:17 says that Jesus came not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He didn't come to condemn you. He came to save you. Conviction says, here's what you did. Your condemnation says this. Condemnation says, look at how bad you are, and you'll never get out of it. Conviction says, here's what you did wrong. Let me show you the way out. It always lets you out. There's a huge difference. And if you're going to encounter God, you must approach him not based on your worth, but based on his worth, his character, on what he's done, not on what you've done. Titus 3 says this, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because you've got your act together, right? Not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. So the first obstacle, we're saying, who am I? I'll tell you who you are. You're saved by grace. You're purchased by the blood of Jesus. And you've been forgiven. And that's a hurdle that we need to overcome, is that hurdle of condemnation. The second excuse was this. Who are you? Who are you? He asked. Who are you? And to this point, Moses was saying, I don't know about you. Who are you? I've heard about you, but our people have been in slavery for 400 years. We heard about you, but really, who are you? We've been in a place of slavery. And Moses had this issue of having small thinking about God. Who are you? And look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 3, there in that section of scripture there in Exodus chapter 3. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they say, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you will say to the Israelites. I am sent me to you. And I just love this. That's not, the I am is not a non-answer. It's not a non-answer. Actually, it's saying, whatever you can come up with, I am. I am. Well, are you? I am. What about I am? Or can you do I am? What about I am? I am. I am. I am. You can't come up with something. He's not. I am. Well, what about my? I am. It's interesting. The Bible describes this as when he met, it talks about the angel of the Lord. And I really looked at that, and I remembered how in places in Scripture it talks about the manifest presence of even Jesus Christ that appeared even in places in the Old Testament. That's kind of deep theology there. But if you remember when Jesus was about to be arrested, you remember, and go to the cross, and he spoke to them, and they wanted to know who he was, and he said, I am he. The he in there is italics, which means it's implied, but what he really said was, I am. And if you remember, if you read the account, what happened when he said that was all those soldiers that came after him fell backward on the ground when he spoke, I am. There's power in the I am. Amen. I just love that. He's the I am of whatever we need. And so what he's saying is, I am big enough. I am big enough. I am big enough. He said, you know, he said, I can't even give you the whole list. Just start asking. I am. And there's a lot of people that have a small view of God and think that God used to be, but he's not the I am of today. There's actually a theology called cessationalism. They believe that the miracles have ceased, that healing has ceased. But I got news for you, folks. The master, the great physician, has not closed shop. He is still in the healing business. My Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Does anybody know it to be true? Amen. He's God Almighty. Amen. And so he says, who are you? And here's what he had to overcome. He had to overcome doubt. Here's what I believe we need to do. We need to start our prayer. This is how you need to start praying when you pray. If you say, I don't know how to even start praying, start declaring how big God is. Spend some time telling God how big he is. Right? Not how big our problems are. Many of us, we tell God how big our problem is, but we need to tell our problems how big our God is. Right? Amen? We just need to begin. God, you're my peace. You're my hope. You're my help. You're my light. You're my encourager. You're my everything. You're my all in all. You're my yesterday, today, and tomorrow, God. You're the breath that I breathe. You're the blood that flows through my veins. You're the beat of my heart. You're the reason I'm here. You're the reason I got up this morning. You're my creator. You're the one that created all this. You created me. I live and move and breathe and have my being in you. God, you're awesome. That's the way we need to begin. Hey, realize who we're praying to. He is an awesome God. And there's a lot of people that are skeptical. They're skeptical of healing. Why does God not heal every time? I don't know. But that's not going to keep me from believing that he does heal and can heal and still heals. My mother had been actually in pain for weeks with her back and constant pain night and day. And she texted me just this week and said, my sister Joan came over early in the morning and prayed with her. And she said, I haven't had a pain all day. I believe, you know, that's just coincidence. No, that's God. That's God. Amen. And I've told this story many times about the lady we used to bring to church who was blind. And she was in the altar at our church, and after she got through praying, she opened her eyes, and guess what? She could see. God still works. He's still in the miracle-working business. And to encounter God, you need to know who you are and who your God is and that he's a big God. And then look at the third excuse. He said, what if they? Exodus 4:1, Moses answered, but if they do not believe me or listen to me, and What if they don't believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? What if he showed, I mean, that's a good question. What if he shows up and says, hey, everybody, this bush, talk to me. I mean, think about it. What if I walked in here and said, guys, guess what? There was this bush that was burning, and it spoke to me, and I just got to tell you about it. You know, you might be saying, Pastor, I think you had too much pizza last night, right? I mean, think about it. He's going there, and he says, what if they, we, here's where we need to be careful. We need to be careful that we don't limit God in our lives worrying about what other people think. People and allow people to keep us from the presence of God and getting close to God. Here's what we need to do. We need to overcome fear. We need to overcome fear. There's a sad scripture is found, it's not in your notes, in John chapter 12 that says, yet at the same time many, even among the leaders, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved human praise more than praise from God. And it wasn't just a religious position. It was a position of influence, a position, a social position. They were afraid they're going to be kicked out of the club, that they weren't going to be in the cool gang, they weren't going to be with it. And so they were afraid of social rejection. Proverbs 29 and 25, another one's not in your notes, you might want to jot this down. Proverbs 29 and 25 says, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. And we're going to come to an intersection in our life where we need to decide, are we going to encounter God or are we going to please people? We need to be set free. We need to be set free in worship. My, what a great time of worship we had this morning. But some of us just need to free ourselves, you know. Like one guy heard about, he said he was driving to church and he decided, this is the day I'm going to raise my hand. And he previously decided he was going to try to get into it, and he started tapping his toe, you know. Well, I'm getting into it, because he wasn't used to the raising the hand stuff. He wasn't used to this style of worship. And not everybody comes from the same place. And I think sometimes we assume everybody's made, we're like we are, and everybody's got our past, and that's not true. And one day he was riding along, he said, this is the day I'm going to raise my hand today. I'm going to do it. And so he's worshiping. He's woo, yeah, yeah, yeah. I did it. And he thought everybody was looking at him. He turned around, and guess what? Nobody was looking at him. Some of us need to get free to the point where we just lose ourselves and forget about what everybody's thinking around us and forget about your neighbor and just worship God and focus on God and encounter him, amen, and be freed up. It'll set you free. Romans 6, 1 and 16 says this. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then for the Gentile. And Moses, you'd have thought he'd be out of excuses. He's got one more excuse. Number four, he said, I have never. When he didn't have anything else, he said, I have never. Exodus 4, Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since. You have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. And let me just say this, to encounter God, you pretty much are going to have to do something you've never done before, because it's a step of faith. And notice how God chose the stutterer who didn't like to speak to get on stage and speak. Why does God do that? Because God rewards faith. It's people who say, God, I'm uncertain, but I'm going to take this step of faith. Look, until you get used to taking steps of faith, you can never have the best of God. Now, that's just the truth. That's just the truth. Here's what Moses needed to overcome, and it was to overcome reluctance. Overcome reluctance. You see, for many of us, it may be that God's been asking you to do something. You may be asking, God be asking you to do something, to serve, to give. And you say, well, when I get out of school, or when I get the kids out of school, or when I retire, and then you say, and now, God, I'm too old. Hebrews 11 says this, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. God likes it when you move towards the burning bush. I don't know what it is. I don't understand it. But I want to draw close to you, God. The Bible says that if you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. And if God draws near to you, you'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. You see, all of us are going to be facing situations in our life that if you don't know that you serve an alive and present God, this world will eat your lunch. It can't just be a Sunday school lesson or a flannel graph on the board that gets you through that. You need an encounter with God. But when you walk through a difficult and uncertain place in your life and you know that you serve an alive and present God, it will change everything. It'll change everything. There's many things today, even this message today, that you can't fully understand until you experience it. You got it on the outline. We've taken the notes. But that's not enough. We need to step forward into it. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. God, I thank you that you're real today. I thank you that you're real. I thank you that you care for us. You love us. God, as I was praying this week, I got reminded again that you're just unlimited. And it was said of Israel at one point in their history that they limited the Holy One of Israel. Oh God, forgive us for limiting you. There is no limit to what you can do. Things that are impossible with man, things that are impossible with us, is possible with you, God. All things are possible with you. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to get over the obstacle of inferiority. You'd help us to get over the obstacle of, God, you're just small. Help us to get over the obstacle of fear of people and the fear of taking that big leap. God, I pray that you give every person the courage to move toward you. And I pray, God, that as they do that, that, Lord, you'll meet them there. And in your time, you would reveal yourself and your power. God, may we encounter you today. May we encounter you. May be a church, God, that encounters you. God, as we encounter you, God, you'll change us. We'll be able to share this encounter with others and lead them to an encounter with you. Perhaps you're here today, heads are still bowed, and you know that you're not in a right relationship with God. Maybe you have never had a right relationship with God, or maybe you're a Christian, but you've drifted. You know you're empty. You know there's something missing inside. And you know that you need to take a step of faith today and you need to surrender to God. You need to surrender again to God. I want you to encourage you to forget about everybody that's around you. And I want you to allow God to come in and you can encounter His presence today, anew and afresh. If that's you, I want you to have the courage to pray a prayer with me. And I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front. The heads are bowed. It's just between you and God. But I want to know who I'm agreeing with in prayer today. If that's you, you need to pray this prayer. Maybe it's recommitment. Maybe it's a commitment for the first time. But you just know today I need to make that surrender. I need to surrender. It's an area of my life that I haven't given to Him. I need to do that today. If that's you, right where you're sitting, will you just quickly just lift up a hand real high and real bold and you can put it right back down. I just want to agree with you today. Just slip up a hand and you can put it right back down. Yes, God bless you. Yes, proud of you. anyone else, just say, that's me. That's me. When you pray that prayer, just include me in that prayer. Include me in that prayer. Why am I asking you to do this? Because it's a step. You need to take a step. You need to do something tangible. Not just process it in your mind, but just make a step. Just slip up a hand and put it back down. Those of you that raise your hand, let's just pray this prayer right there. Just breathe this prayer to the Lord, just quietly right where you are. Just say, Lord Jesus, today I give you my life. Forgive me for going my own way, doing things my way. I need you in my life. I need your direction. I want to follow you. I believe that you died on the cross for me. And by faith, I receive your forgiveness of my sins. I turn from my past, and I'm asking you, God, to come inside and live inside of me. Create in me a new heart. Give me a new tomorrow. Make me all new. By faith, I receive you as the Lord of my life. And with all of my heart, I'll follow you. I'll serve you as you give me the strength to do so. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for every person who just prayed that prayer, needed to pray that prayer. And I pray, mighty God, reveal yourself in their life. I pray in the days that follow, I pray, God, that you would just encourage them, strengthen them, guide them, and let your presence be known in every area of their life in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray for this church. I pray that you'd cause us to encounter your presence. We'd encounter the life of Jesus in this house. God, that we'd be the culture, oh God, that invites your presence, oh God, where you can do all things. I thank you that in every situation, every home, every situation, God, I know that you are the answer, and I pray, God, that you just reveal yourself. You'd manifest yourself, and you do the amazing things in our life that we can't do ourselves. God, as we move towards you, may we encounter your presence and your peace and your power and your love in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, everybody. Let's praise God. Change lives here this morning. Thank you, Jesus.